الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وشفيعنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وعاشروهن بالمعروف فإن كرهتموهن فعسى أن تكرهوا شيئا ويجعل الله فيه خيرا كثيرا صدق الله العظيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم خيركم خيركم لأهله وأنا خيركم لأهلي أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم Respected elders, beloved brothers in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the success of each and every person on the surface of the earth right up to the day of Qiyamah, has given us the perfect and the noble example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the only mode, this is the only way of life that would enable one of not only gaining the success of this world, but this is that way of life that would grant one the honor of the year after as well. Ya Aba Sufyan, jittukum bi khayri dunya wa karamati al-akhirah. Once Nabi alayhi salam tells Abu Sufyan, Dara Abu Sufyan, I have come to you with that way of life that would not only grant you the success of this world, but I have come to you with that way of life that would grant you the honor of the after as well. Very beautifully in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala describes to us or enjoins upon us as to what extent we would have to follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Allah Ta'ala says that وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوا وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا, that everything without exception that has emanated and has come from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you would have to hold fast to this. And that which Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has prohibited you from, has stopped you from, you would have to stay away from that. Regardless of which age it is, regardless of which era it may be, regardless of how far mankind may have advanced technologically, regardless of the circumstances of any period or any age or any phase of human history, for the success of each and every person right up to the day of Qiyamah, there is only one way, and that is Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لَوْ اسْتَفْتَحُوا لِي كُلَّ بَابٍ وَجَاءُونِي مِنْ كُلِّ طَرِيقٍ لَا أَفْتَحُ عَلَيْهِمْ إِلَّا أَنْ يَدْخُلُوا وَرَاءَكَ يَا حَبِيبِي يَا مُحَمَّدًا. Hadith Qudsi, Allah says, if you open every door, you come upon every way, you would never be able to grant my closeness, you would never be able to gain my proximity, except that you come upon the road of my Habib, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nevertheless, we find in many riwayats, if you look at the Shariat of Nabi alayhi salam, you will find that approximately 25% of the Shariat, ahkamat, and laws of Allah pertain to what we call hukukullah, the rights of Allah Ta'ala, whether it be your salah, whether it be making tilawat of the Quran, whether it be dhikrullah, the remembrance of Allah, and all the other various ibadat, this formulates and makes up approximately 25% of the Shariat of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But in reality, approximately 75% of the Shariat of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has to do with those laws, those regulations, that practical example which teaches us how to live with our fellow men. Whether it be in your business, whether it be your social life, whether it be with your children, whether it be with regards to nikah, that how you conduct yourself with your wife, and especially with regards to this ummah, when Allah Ta'ala says that ukhrijat linnas, that you have been taken out, you have been selected, You have been chosen for the hidayat of the entire mankind. So that example that Nabi alayhi salam had displayed to this ummah and that sharia that he had come with is showing us how to live with the rest of mankind in such a way that others looking at you, they are given the invitation towards Islam. We find in many riwayats, Nabi alayhi salam has stressed upon showing kindness to your wives. In fact, in one riwayat, Allah's Rasul has mentioned that that husband who will endure the ill manners of his wife patiently, that husband who will patiently endure the ill manners of his wife, Allah will give him the same reward that he had given to Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salam when afflicted with sickness. And similarly, that woman who will endure patiently the ill manners of her husband, Allah will give her the same reward that he had given to Sayyidina Asiya alayhi salam, the righteous wife of the notorious bloodshed and evil man Fir'aun. The hadith that I had mentioned in the beginning, which appears in Tirmizi and many other hadith kitabs, Nabi alayhi salam mentions that khayrukum khayrukum li ahli. That O my sahaba, the best amongst you is he who is the most kind to his wives. This is a general statement that the Nabi of Allah had made. And then he had coupled the statement with a claim by saying, wa ana khayrukum li ahli. That none can be more kind to his wives than I. One is the general statement. And one is, he has coupled the statement with a claim. And of course, he has substantiated this claim by the manner in which he had conducted himself in this world. On a light note, they say marriage. They say marriage is an institution where a man loses his bachelor's degree and a woman gets a master's. Once the son asked the father, oh my father, how much does it cost to get married? So the father said, oh my son, I don't know, I'm still paying. They say that marriage certificate, it's another name for a work permit. They say a man can change his job many times, but he still ends up with the same boss. Nevertheless, let us look at this akhlaq of Nabi alayhi salam. At the very outset, let us understand. I'm speaking on this topic because I was asked to speak about it. Just 2 weeks back, there's one town in our country where I was informed that 6 divorces dissolved in a matter of 2 weeks. In a matter of 2 weeks, 6 marriages dissolved. At the very outset, we should understand that no two individuals can ever make the perfect match. This attitude of zero defect, this is not possible, this is not practical. There would always be clashes. Total compatibility is not possible, it is not practical. That is why let us learn to relate to the life of Nabi alayhi salam and that of Sahaba. Let me give you a few incidents. Take the incident of Sauda radiallahu ta'ala anha. Subhanallah, what a brilliant woman she was. For some reason or the other, the Nabi of Allah decides to divorce her. She comes to Nabi alayhi salam and she says, oh Nabi of Allah, before you finally divorce me, may I ask you a few questions? He says, by all means, go ahead. She says, have you become upset with me over any matter? He says, no. She says, has it become difficult for you to live with me any longer? He says, no. Then she says, oh my Nabi of Allah, oh Nabi of Allah, if that is the case, then I beg you and I implore you that I want to remain in your nikah. However, I have passed that stage where I have any physical needs to a man. I forfeit my right and I see that you have a greater inclination towards your wife Aisha. When it is my night, you could spend my night at the home of your wife Aisha. I forfeit my right, but I want to remain in your nikah. So that on the day of Qiyamah, I could be resurrected and wake up as the wife of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, look at the foresight of this woman. Free from uneasiness, free from jealousy, she forfeits her right and she secures the companionship of the master of all the worlds, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the gardens of Jannah. Riwayat appears in Bukhari. Hazrat Aisha says that we are traveling with Nabi alayhi salam. She herself narrates the riwayat. She says we are traveling, hatta idha kunna bil bayda. We had come to a certain place called Bayda, and while we were there, in Qata'a Iqdurni, my pendant, my bracelet got mislaid. We know women, when it comes to their jewelry, they become very passionate. So she says, I started looking, searching for my pendant. But the Nabi of Allah was easy, he was understanding. What are the sentiments of this woman? He wasn't taking off with me, he was taking it easy. Nevertheless, Hazrat Aisha says, فَأَقَامَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ عَلَىٰ إِلْتِمَاسِهِ. Nabi alayhi salam saw me looking and looking for this pendant. He himself got up, he started searching. Sahaba ikram had become very uneasy. The time of salah is about to set in. And because of one pendant, I'm holding back the whole jamaat. They couldn't tell the Nabi of Allah anything. They come to Abu Bakr. Oh Abu Bakr, look at what your daughter is doing. Because of one pendant, she's holding back the whole jamaat. وَلَيْسُ عَلَى مَا وَلَيْسَ مَعَهُمْ مَا There's no water to make wudu. Time of salah has set in. Sahaba ikram had become, they've become very uneasy. It comes in the riwayat of Bukhari that they searched and searched and searched. They found nothing. The Nabi of Allah takes his Mubarak hand, puts it onto the lap of Aisha, and he falls off to sleep. They tell Abu Bakr, go tell your daughter something. Because of one pendant, she's holding back the whole jamaat. He comes to Sayyidina Aisha, and he says, oh Aisha, why are you doing this? وَقَالَ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ أَن يَقُولُ He tells her, hey Marqul, because of one pendant, you're holding back the whole jamaat. He says, فَلَا يَمْنَعُنِي مِنَ التَّحَرُّكِ Nabi alayhi salam was sleeping on my lap. I couldn't even move my legs. After some time, the Nabi of Allah gets up. Sahaba ikram get worried. What is the Nabi of Allah going to say? Nabi of Allah opens his eyes. Sahaba ikram say, there is no water to make wudu. The time of salah has set in. In moments of desperation, Allah reveals the verses of tayammum. Sayyidina Uzair radiallahu ta'ala anhu at that time, he comes to Abu Bakr and he says that ma hiya bi awwali barakatikum ya Abi Bakr. Oh Abu Bakr, whenever you or your family got into any predicament or dilemma, Allah on a very disguised note made that very challenging source of benefit. And here your desperation opened up the concession of tayammum for the entire ummah right up to the day of Qiyamah. So you would find when it had come to these things, the Nabi of Allah was kind. He was understanding that what are the sentiments of this woman. Riwayat appears in Tabi'ul Ghafileen. One person knocks on the door of Sayyidina Umar. This person had a very ill-tempered wife. His wife used to be answering him. So he thought that let me present my problem to Amirul Mu'mineen. He could assist me and advise me in this matter. This person knocks on the door of Amirul Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar. And he hears that the wife of Umar is back answering Umar. So he thinks to himself that Umar is in the same predicament that I am in. So let me go back home. I will make dua for him. He will make dua for me. And let us leave it at that. Because if I present my problem to him, he may think I am referring to his problem. As Umar opened the door, he saw this person walking away. He called him. He says, oh my brother, come here. You knocked on my door. Perhaps you have a need. This person tells Umar that I knocked on your door. My wife is very ill-tempered. She shouts at me, she back answers me. I thought that I will present my problem to you, you could advise me. I knocked on your door, I heard that your wife is back answering you. So I thought that let me go back home. If I present my problem to you, you may think I am referring to your problem. As Umar calls this person inside, let the incident come to the point of focus. He says, let me explain to you something. I know that my wife is ill-tempered, but inni atajawazun anha li hukukin laha aliyya. That I overlook the trivial wrong of my wife for the many favors of hers upon me. I overlook the trivial wrong of my wife for the many favors of hers upon me. Let us couple this with the hadith of Muslim, where the Nabi of Allah had mentioned that لا يفرق مؤمن مؤمن مؤمنة that no believer should discard his wife totally. If he hates one of her wrongs, that very woman possesses many great qualities in her that would attract you to her. If she falters in one thing, that very woman possesses many great qualities in her that would attract you to her. One of the last messages that the Nabi of Allah had given to this ummah on his Hajjatul Wada'a, that O people, fear Allah with regards to the treatment of your wives, for verily you have taken them into your possession through the permission of Allah. It is through this contract of nikah that you have taken those wives of yours into your possession. So be careful as to how you deal with them. Nevertheless, Sayyidina Umar tells this person that I overlooked this trivial wrong of my wife for the many favors of hers upon me. Number one, sitrum bayni wa bayn al-nar fayaskur biha qalbi anil haram. That this wife of mine, she is ill-tempered, but this very wife of mine, she has become a barrier between me and the fire of Jahannam. It is this very wife of mine, via whom I enjoy a matrimonial relation, that my heart and my mind remains clear of the evil thoughts of zina and adultery, I know by my nature, I am so vulnerable. Had it not been because of this wife of mine, Sayyidina Umar says, I would have committed zina with every woman that would have passed my gaze. So I feel that I am morally obligated that I overlook this trivial wrong of my wife when she has become a barrier between me and the fire of Jahannam. Number two, Tabbakhatun, she cooks my food. Number three, Khabbazatun, she bakes my bread. She takes care of my children. When this person heard this, he melted into tears and he said that, O Umar, if that is your attitude, all the more reason I should display the more and display and portray the same attitude towards my wife. That is one aspect of kindness. But if you could just veer out and discuss another aspect of kindness in the life of Nabi alayhi salam, the riwayat appears in Tirmizi, the second volume. Nabi alayhi salam mentions that yaghlibna kareeman. Yaghlibna kareeman. That it is the nature of women that they dominate a soft-natured man. It is the nature of women that they dominate a soft-natured man. وَيَغْلِبُهُنَّ لَئِيمِ And a hard, a rigid, a very stern man would dominate over them. But what does the Nabi of Allah then say? فَأُحِبُّ أَنْ أَكُونَ كَرِيمًا مَغْلُوبًا I would prefer to be soft, to be passive, and be dominated by my wife than to dominate over them. These are the words of Nabi alayhi salam. But today we have to see what is meant where the Nabi of Allah had mentioned that none can be more kind to his wives than I. What is the kindness that the world has afforded to their wives? Allah's qasam, this is not kindness in the eyes of Allah and His Rasul. Generally, you would base kindness to your wives on the car you provide for her, the clothes she wears, the house in which she lives, and the holidays you take her on, the vacations you take her on. That husband who provides his wife with his basic necessities is taken to be a very kind husband to his wife. But let us analyze and let us study this very aspect in the life of Nabi alayhi salam. Allah's qasam, if you have to study the Nabi of Allah with a Western eye of kindness, you would possibly come to the conclusion that no man has ill-treated his wife more than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you study the Nabi of Allah with a Western eye of kindness, you would possibly come to the conclusion that no man has ill-treated his wife more than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But it is the absence of this level of kindness that is the result of our marriages breaking up. When the marriage is finally resolved, people wonder what could have possibly went wrong in that nikah. She had a car of her own. She lived in a beautiful home. She enjoyed national, international vacations. What could have possibly went wrong in that marriage? Wallah, I always say that they were lacking spirituality. Just as it is vital for husband and wife to take out time for recreation, to take out time for one another, it is vital. It is vital that husband and wife take out time and create that environment of spirituality within the homes. And paint the picture of the Quran that إِنَّ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ وَالْقَانِتِينَ وَالْقَانِتَاتِ That believing men, believing women, women that perform salah, men that perform salah, women that give charity, women that give charity, أَعَدَّ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرًا Time will have to be taken out for the spirituality. Allah's qasam, if you could give them anything and everything of this world, but if their lives will be devoid of that spirituality, this marriage would never ever prosper. Let us look at the house that Nabi alayhi salam had provided for his wife Aisha. Remember what I had said in the beginning, what the Nabi of Allah had mentioned, that none can be more kind to his wives than I. What was the house that he had provided for Sayyidina Aisha? She says when Nabi alayhi salam used to perform salah, when he used to make sajda, ghamazani, he used to press my leg, fabastu rijlaya, I used to withdraw my feet, he used to make sajda, when he used to stand up, I used to withdraw my feet. One day somebody asked her, Aisha, what was the reason for this? She says the room was so small, it could not accommodate me sleeping at the Nabi of Allah prostrating. And he had said that none can be more kind to his wives than I. One Ansari woman, She enters the home of Nabi alayhi salam and she looks at the bedding and she says that, "Oh Aisha, is this the bedding that my Habib sleeps on?" She says, "Yes." She was moved to tears. Immediately she goes home, she brings her own bedding and she says that, "Oh Aisha," when the Nabi of Allah returns, telling that one of his female followers has made his humble contribution, if he could use it and sleep on it. Nabi alayhi salam enters, he looks at his bedding, he says, "Oh Aisha, from where is this?" "Ruddihi ya Aisha, fa wallah la'in shi'tu la'ajra Allah ma'i jibal al-dhahabi wal-fidda." "Oh Aisha, take this and remove this from my life. If I wanted, the whole Tihama range of mountains," Arabia was divided into four, Najd, Sakhra, Hijaz and Tihama. Tihama was a mountainous region. She says, "Oh Aisha, if I wanted, the whole Tihama range of mountains would have been converted to gold and silver. They would have followed me wherever I went. I myself declined." And then he had said that none had been more kind to his wives than I. This was the bedding. Then let us look at the clothing. One day he tells Hazrat Aisha that in Arabti Luhuku bi falyakfika min ad-dunya kazadir raqib. "Oh Aisha, if you are to join me in that abode that my Lord had prepared for me, then live in this world like a stranger. وَلَا تَسْتَخْلِقِي ثَوْبًا." "And do not consider any garment to be old until you have not touched it many times." If you want to join me in that abode that my Lord has prepared for me, live in this world like a stranger and do not consider any garment to be old until you have not touched it many times. As I mentioned, you could give your wives anything and everything, but if their lives will be devoid of that spirituality, her hands will be laden with those very bangles that you had given her. She will be wearing those rings that you had given her. She will pick up her hand and should be prepared to slap you. In the riwayat of Bukhari, the Nabi of Allah has mentioned, on the occasion of Eid, addressing the woman, that all women give charity. They say, "Why, O Nabi of Allah?" "Because you are very ungrateful." "What makes us ungrateful?" "Law ahsanta ila ihdahunna dahra, thumma ra'atika shay'a." That if your husband is kind to you for a decade, and once, unintentionally, he would do something that would displease you, you would negate all his kindness, and you would say that, "Ma ra'aytu fika khayran qattu." I have never seen any good in this marriage. Then let us look at the food. The riwayat appears in Bayhaqi. Nabi alayhi salam mentions in the riwayat of Bayhaqi that al-aklu fil yawmi marratayn min al-israf. Wallahu la yuhibbu al-muslifin. Nabi alayhi salam finds Hazrat Aisha having two meals in one day. He says, "Oh Aisha, have you made the object of your life eating? Don't you know eating two meals in one day is extravagance?" Hazrat Aisha had put on a beautiful garment and she was busy admiring herself. Abu Bakr enters. "Ma tanzurina ya Aish, fa inna Allah laysa binadirin ilayk." "Oh Aisha, what are you admiring? Don't you know Allah is not admiring you?" She says, "What do you mean?" Hazrat Abu Bakr tells Sayyidina Aisha, don't you know that man or that woman who puts on a beautiful garment and he becomes obsessed with that garment, مَقْتَعَهُ رَبُّ حَتَّى يُفَارِكَ الزِّينَ. Allah abandons that person until he does not give up that pride. Sayyidina Aisha takes out that garment and she gives it in charity. Let us take another incident. I showed you how kind the Nabi of Allah was with her in locating a pendant. This was material harm. The Nabi of Allah was flexible, he was kind. But when it had come to deen, Allah's qasam, you would never find a more rigid, you would never find a more stern husband than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let me give you one or two incidents, time is limited. Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu is at home. The slander against Sayyidina Aisha is being circulated. Many a time me at home, people come and say that, "Did you hear this? Did you hear that?" We entertain it, we promote it, and ghibat starts from our own homes. The wife of Abu Ayyub Ansari comes home and she says that people are making these accusations against Sayyidina Aisha. She says, oh my husband, what is your opinion? He says, it is a lie. It can never be possible. So being a woman, she can't keep quiet. She says, oh my husband, definitely, what is your opinion? Tell me, what is your opinion? He denies, he says, it is a lie. Then she tells him, what is your proof? He says, you are my wife. Would you ever commit an act of immorality? She says, me, never. You being my wife, you would never do this. Aisha being the wife of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do you think that she would ever do something like that? And then he tells her that, oh my wife, I don't want to ever you saying things like that anymore. That is my focus. When it comes to deen, this is where we have to be inflexible. But unfortunately, this is where we succumb to pressure, we give in to pressure. Hazrat Aisha, though she had such status in the sight of Allah, in the sight of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day she utters a statement about Safiya. She says that hasbuka min Safiya kada wa kada. The riwayat appears in Bukhari. She says, your wife Safiya, she is so short. There is no good in her. Why do you make mention of her? Nabi alayhi salam tells Hazrat Aisha that laqad qulti kalima. Oh Aisha, you have uttered such a statement. It has the potential of contaminating the oceans of the entire world. لَقَدْ قُلْتِ كَلِمَا لَنَّجَسَتِ الْبَحْرِ. Oh Aisha, you have uttered such a statement. It has the potential of contaminating the oceans of the entire world. One day Hazrat Aisha, she makes a comment about Khadija. She says, O Nabi of Allah, your wife Khadija, she is long gone, she passed away. She was old. Allah gave you me, I was a virgin, I am beautiful, I am young. Am I not more superior than her? Nabi alayhi salam, understand, there was that subtle rivalry. Nabi alayhi salam tells her that, O Aisha, do not say those words. Khadija was my first wife. She had given birth to my children. Jibreel had come to inform me that Allah has confirmed her abode in Jannah. Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha, one day Nabi alayhi salam tells her that why don't you give one of your camels to Safiya? Safiya was the daughter of Ayy ibn Akhtab, who was a Jew, hence Hazrat Safiya had a flavor of Judaism in her. So she tells the Nabi of Allah, if you so desire, take this camel and give it to a Jewess of yours. Nabi alayhi salam became so upset. It comes in the riwayat that for more than 1 month, he did not speak to Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha. You and I always say, it's no sense you and I being pious. We perform our salah, we come to the masjid, we stand before Allah. Those wives of ours, they draw the la'nat and the curse of Allah. They sleep through the fajr salah. We go home, we embrace them, we love them, we cherish them. What type of love is this? What type of love is this? As I mentioned, you could give them anything and everything of this world. But if their lives will be devoid of that spirituality, that marriage would never ever prosper. The wife of Nabi alayhi salam, they surround the Nabi of Allah. They say, now, you know, you are living an affluent life, abundance of wealth. It comes in the riwayat of Jalalain, in the footnotes of Jalalain. Umm Habiba said that, oh Nabi of Allah, I want better curtains. Umm Salma said, I want a better garment. The different wives, they made the different demands. The Nabi of Allah became so upset. It comes in the riwayat that for more than 1 month he left his wives and he went away. Allah reveals the verses. Ya ayyuha al-Nabi, kul li azwajik, in kuntunna turidna al-hayat al-dunya wa zinataha, fata'alayn, umatthi'akunna wa sarrihkunna sarahan jameela. Then, O Nabi of Allah, summon your wives. I give them one of two choices. If they want this material world, I will give them double of what they ask. But today, their marriage with you terminates. One of two choices. If they want this material world, I will give them double of what they ask. But today, their marriage would do terminates. Nabi alayhi salam first called Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. He says, oh Aisha, Allah has revealed the verses of option. You have asked me for this material world. Allah says, if you want this material world, he will give you double. But today, my nikah would do terminates. He says, do not be hasty in the matter when consult with your parents. What does she say? Afika ushawiru abawayya ya Rasulallah. O Nabi of Allah, Are you asking me to stoop so low and consult with my parents whether I want you or whether I want this material world? Allah's qasam, I want you, I want you. And what does she say? She's the only being of Allah. This is what I have to say. Do not mention to your other wives what I said. Let us see what they have to say. Nevertheless, Nabi alayhi salam gathers his wives and he puts the stories before them. They all say, we want you, we want you. Let us learn to relate to the lives of Nabi alayhi salam and that of Sahaba. Allah's qasam, today a man is going through some financial strain. He is living his own life. The wife is living her own life. There is no communication. The children are affected. The entire family is affected. There is a total communication breakdown between the spouses. Let me give you an incident very quickly. Riwayat appears in Muslim, the second volume. Abu Talha Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he leaves behind a terminally ill child and he goes out in the path of Allah. Allah's doing, the child passes away. Look at the faqahat. Look at the bravery and the understanding of his wife, Sulaim. The child passes away. She tells her neighbors that when my husband Abu Talha returns, do not tell him that his son has passed away, I will explain to him. He returns after a long time. She opens the door. She smiles in the face of her husband. Who said that a woman cannot smile? But unfortunately, she is smiling to the wrong man. That smile that she will express to a stranger will draw her away from Allah. That smile that she will express to her husband will draw her closer to Allah. That polite and kind word that you and I use in our offices, in our factories, in our lift clubs. Allah's qasam, if we could use that same politeness with our wives, we will return to our wives each evening with that same desire like how a newlywed couple await the next night. Nevertheless, Sulaim, she tells her neighbors that when my husband Abu Talha returns from the path of Allah, do not tell him that his son has passed away. I will explain to him. She opens the door, she smiles in the face of her husband. Lengthy riwayat, فَقَرَّبَتْ إِلَيْهِ الْعَشَاءَ. She presents the platter of food. Naturally, a relationship takes place between husband and wife. At one juncture, he asked his wife that before I left to go out in the path of Allah, my son was terminally ill. How is he doing? So she says, "Huwa askanu mimma kan." She uses a word of ambiguity. She does not speak a lie. She says, "He is in more peace than what he was." He is in more peace than what he was. She's not speaking a lie. A word of ambiguity. Nevertheless, she presents the platter of food. Relationships take place between husband and wife. And once she had seen that my husband is saturated, he is satisfied, his needs are fulfilled, she called him one side. Her name was Sulaim. Look at the understanding of this woman. She says, "Oh my husband, let me ask you one question." He says, "Go ahead." She says, "Tell me that if someone had to give you an item, had to lend you an item for a limited period of time, and when that limited period of time expires, if the owner of the item demands the item back from you, will you have any reluctancy in returning the item?" He says, "No." "But why are you asking me this?" She tells him that فَحْتَسِبْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. Hope for reward from Allah. Our son was a trust. Allah has taken the trust back. Abu Talha runs to Nabi alayhi salam. This is what had transpired, that my son had passed away. One question, أَعَرَّسْتُمُ اللَّيْلَىٰ. "Oh Abu Talha, did the relationship take place between you and your wife last night?" He said, "Of course." "Barakallahu fi laylatikuma. Mubarak conception has taken place. Allah will bless you with a son very soon." "Wayna ibn Hassan." Let us give importance to what Allah and His Rasul had given importance to. "Wayna ibn Hassan," who is one of the narrators of this hadith, he says, "I had seen that young boy grow up and become the father of 9 sons, all of whom had become ulama and kuffaz of deen." That is when we give importance to what Allah had given importance to. Nevertheless, cutting a long story short, the best we can leave behind is, let us leave behind with our wives the deen of Allah. As Nabi alayhi salam is leaving this world, one of his last messages to this ummah, "Asrahu kunna luhuqan bi, aqwalu kunna yadan." That the one that wants to join me first in Jannah, in other words, the one that wants to pass away immediately after me, will be the one that will spend the most in the path of Allah. May Allah save our marriages from being broken up. Wallah, divorces have become so ripe, so common. May Allah unite our families. May Allah put barakah. As I mentioned, Let husband and wife together, let us portray that akhlaq, let us display that akhlaq that is desired in Sharia. That was the dua of Nabi alayhi salam. Nazzal Allahu imran qama min al-layl. May Allah shower His choicest blessings on that couple who stand in the dead of the night. Allah forgive. We have to every destination of this world together. How many nights the husband and wife say that let us stand up, let us communicate with Allah. The Nabi of Allah has made dua for that couple, that husband who comes to his wife, he taps her, وَنَضَحَ عَلَىٰ وَجْهِهَا الْمَاءِ. He takes water and he sprinkles it over her face. She opens her eyes. What is it, oh my beloved? It is 2 o'clock in the morning. She says, let us stand up, let us communicate with Allah. We will see what barakah Allah will put in the marriage. May Allah inspire us all.
Alhamdulillah kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran كثيرا. أما بعد فقد قال تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد إنما المؤمنون الذين إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم وإذا تليت عليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانا وعلى ربهم يتوكلون. وقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تتخذوا اليهود والنصارى أولياء. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين.
علماء الكرام, elders and brothers in Islam, the ayat which I recited now, wherein Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu, لا تتخذوا اليهود والنصارى أولياء. Allah Ta'ala addresses the believers that all those who have brought Iman, who believe in Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do not take the Jews and the Christians as your friends. Do not take them as your advisors. Do not use their ways and their methods in your life, because these are in actual fact your enemies. Before I actually commence with the topic which I intend to speak on, I will first give a brief introduction to this. We find Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in various ayat of the Quran, Allah ta'ala speaks of the Jews, the Banu Israel, the progeny of Yaqub alayhi salam. And we find the different incidents that the Quran speaks about. What we've come to know is that these were very, very cunning and very shrewd people. Now this is going back long before Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the time of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, and before that also. We find these people were very cunning people, very shrewd people. In one ayat Allah Ta'ala says, وَضُرِبَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الذِّلَّةُ وَالْمَسْكَنَةُ وَبَاءُ بِغَضَبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ. That these people, disgrace and poverty has been placed upon them. That for the rest of time, these people will be disgraced. And then Allah Ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يَكْفُرُونَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَيَقْتُلُونَ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍّ. This is because these people disbelieve in the ayat of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, and they kill the Anbiya alayhi salam unrightfully. So we find, what greater crime can a person commit than killing a Nabi of his time? And these people in that time, they were actually carrying out the crime of killing the Anbiya alayhi salam. We find that Hazrat Isa alayhi salam had come and he had brought the deen of Christianity, then again these people had a problem with this. And he taunted Hazrat Maryam ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. They attempted and made all attempts to destroy Hazrat Isa alayhi salam to such an extent that they went to the extent of trying to kill Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. But we know the Quran Sharif tells us at that time Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had raised Isa alayhi salam to the skies and they were not successful in killing him. And Allah ta'ala had put someone else in place of Isa alayhi salam. And when they killed the person, then they looked and they saw that this doesn't look like Isa alayhi salam. Then they were doubting after that. But many of them were under this misconception that they even killed Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. And they thought to themselves that now we have killed Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, that is the end of all these problems. We find that now this deen is no more going to spread. But Allah Ta'ala had granted Isa alayhi salam also very, very devoted and very, very pious companions. Like how Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, carried all the work after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So these devoted companions of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam also carried on with the work of spreading the deen and the religion, although at that time it was something, a very great offense against the laws of the countries. So now the Jews thought again, now what can we do to stop these people? We thought, according to their thought, obviously we know they did not kill Isa alayhi salam, but according to them they thought that they killed Isa alayhi salam. And they thought it was over. So there was one Jewish alim at that time, and he decided to carry out some conspiracy in order to misguide the Christians. And unfortunately, most of the Christians don't even know about this. So he came and he made a story, he came to the companions of Isa alayhi salam and he made a story. He told them that I was going towards Damascus and my intention was to go and speak against Christianity. Because I am an enemy against Isa alayhi salam. I was an enemy. And Isa alayhi salam's companions knew also that this person was a great enemy of Isa alayhi salam. And then he said, but as I was going, I saw a light shining from the sky to the earth. And I heard the voice of Isa alayhi salam telling me that why are you so against me? Why are you doing this here? Why are you so against me? Believe in me and accept Iman in me and become a follower of mine. So this person then says to the companion of Isa alayhi salam that I'm making you all my witness now that I have become a devoted follower to Isa alayhi salam. But this whole incident and story was all a makeup. It was a fabrication. There was nothing like this. It was just a plot that was used by this person so that he can get some fame and some credit in the Christians. And then once he gets that fame and credit, he will use that fame and credit to misguide them. He will bring his own beliefs and his own teachings and all these type of things. So at that time, the different companions of Isa alayhi salam, amongst the very senior companions, one was Barnabas. And the others, they were very doubtful and very skeptical about this whole thing. They said, we're not just accepting what this person is saying and we're not giving him that fame. They suspected that there could be some fabrication to this whole story. But Barnabas was a very soft person by nature. So he told that, why are you denying this person and doubting what he's saying? Maybe it's true what he's saying, maybe he is truly a devotee of Isa alayhi salam. And Barnabas said, let us accept him amongst us. And he was accepted amongst them. And gradually he began getting very famous. His original name was Saul and then he changed his name to Paul. And that's the same Saint Paul Lewis, who till now the Christians speak about with very high regard. He was actually a Jew who had come into Christianity to change and to chop the religion. And gradually he started going from place to place and he started making up his own beliefs. He made up the belief of Trinity. He made up the belief that Isa alayhi salam died for your sins. Now you can commit what sin you want to. Everything is over. Isa alayhi salam already paid for it. And he has to be died. He made up all these wrong types of beliefs. And that is how, unfortunately, the Christians also at that time became misguided. Although they were the true devotees, but they could not do much. They tried their best to stop this person, but they could not stop him. And all the people were getting inspired by his talks and by all the different fancy things he was saying. And in this way, yeah, he had misguided the Christians at that time. So we find in the time of Isa alayhi salam, the Jews had plotted and planned, and they had misguided the Christians in that way. Then when we come to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's time, we find again in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life, the Jews also are plotting and conniving of how to destroy Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how to destroy Islam. To such an extent that the covenants that were made with them, the promises were made with them, that they will not interfere with the Muslims. They had taken those covenants, and despite all that, they tried to join up with the other groups, the Mushrikeen, and they tried to destroy Islam. That was in the 5th year of Hijri, the Battle of Khandaq, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had dug up the trenches to stop the Kuffar from coming. At this time, another name of this battle was Ghazwa Ahzab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this in one surah of the Quran Sharif. All these groups had got together, the Jews at that time, and the Mushrikeen of Makkah, and all of them got together and they tried to destroy Islam. But obviously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's assistance was with Islam and with Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that despite all the efforts they had made, they were unsuccessful. They even tried to kill Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These occasions when it was mentioned that they planned to throw a big boulder or something on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but Allah ta'ala via Jibreel alayhi salam had informed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that watch out, this is the intentions of these people, go away from this place quickly. This is what they want to do. They even went to that extent that they even tried to put sihar on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and bewitch Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But that too Allah ta'ala had removed and taken out. But what I am showing you is how deadly these people are against the truth and especially against Islam. Not from today or from yesterday, or from 100 years, or from 200 years.